I made the comment, I want to know, is this all there is? And it wasn't that long after I made that comment that I started seeing these beings show up at the house.
Art Fraser, the book, The Gods Live in the Shadows, The Truth About UFOs. I followed him on LinkedIn because it isn't just about the book and the story. It's about the photos. His images include occupants. And that's why it makes it all the more fascinating. Not everyone can get these kinds of pictures.
The initial sighting was when I was about five years old. We lived in a rural area in Arkansas. And at the time, my mom was pretty much by herself. My dad was kind of in and out. But they were married. We had what I considered to be a normal life. Well, this particular day, I was outside playing. And at the time, I guess you play with June bugs or any kinds of bugs when you're 5 years old. I happened to notice what I thought to be airplanes going by. So I stopped what I was doing. I looked up and I watched a group of 12 to 15, what I thought to be airplanes, fly by. And the sun was just beginning to set. So my mom was calling me to come in and eat. I turned around and acknowledged her and turned back to look for the planes, and they were gone. So I walked back toward the house. We went inside, or I went inside, and sat in the living room, played with my sister until it was time to eat. Well, she grew bored with me, and I decided to go in the kitchen with my mom. I stayed in the living room and decided to look out the window. As I looked out the window, I noticed I couldn't see anything because it was dark. In the rural area, you didn't have any street lights. So when I looked out, all I could see was the light reflecting back from the inside of the house. So I cupped my hands over my face to try to see what was outside, and there was something covering it. Face looking inside at me. I thought maybe it was my reflection at first, but this thing was glowing. It was a white face, and it scared me tremendously. I ran and got my mom and told her there was a man looking in through the window. I didn't think about it being anything other than a little guy. And she came and looked in the window and tried to verify there was somebody out there. She didn't see anything. And she tried to coax me back over to look out again. And I was real timid about doing so, but I decided to go ahead and do it anyway. I looked out, and I didn't see anything either, so I finally calmed down and relaxed and continued playing until it was time for dinner. We had dinner, got ready for bed. Later that night, after I went to sleep, something was in the backyard. It was really illuminated, really bright, and I could see through the cracks in the walls and out the window that something was going on, but there were no lights back there that we had. Suddenly, it came to the door, and you could see the emanations of the light around the door, and the door opened, and this small crack, I would imagine maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet in diameter, came through the door. It kind of paused once it got in a couple of feet, and you could see it kind of turning, I guess. I'm thinking it was turning because it was actually covered by this illumination and what looked like a cloud-like substance. And then it moved in and toward the bed and hovered above my bed. At that time, I covered my head. And then I still tried to peek out to just see what this thing was. And as I was peeking out, I could see the top of this thing. The light got dim, the top just kind of raised up, and all I could see was this head glowing as it came up above, and I covered my head back up at that time. And I don't know what was going on, but it looked like it smiled at me. And after it smiled and I covered my head, a few seconds later, it slowly went right back out the same way it came in, closed the door, and that was the end of that. I told my mom about it the next morning, and she said, well, you were probably having a nightmare or a dream. And she convinced me that's probably what it was, and I didn't think any more about it than that. Beyond that, we moved to Kansas City, I think, in, I want to say, 1969 or 68. It was during the riots, as a matter of fact. And when we moved here, me being a country boy, I had no idea about what was going on in the city and how to conduct myself or how to speak to people because I was used to speaking to neighbors and saying hi and hello and whatever. Well, this particular day, this is the second incident of me seeing something that I couldn't explain. This particular day, I was walking down the street and I spoke to a guy, and the guy said, "You don't know me." And I'm like, "I don't understand why you're saying I don't know you. I'm just being cordial and trying to say good morning." And I let it go. I was really kind of disappointed, and I started walking back home. And we stayed in a three-story house, and I was in the I was on the third floor. So I went back home, and I laid on the floor, and the window was no more than a couple of inches off the floor. And I opened the window and laid my head back and just kind of caught the breeze out the window looking up and just pondering on whether we made the wrong move by coming to the city. And as I looked up, I could see these large figures just kind of flying around. I thought they were birds at first, but they were just entirely too large to be birds. They seemed to be winged creatures, but I couldn't really verify that. And that was the second time. This continued on. The first one was at 5. The second one was when I was about 14. The third incident, I think, was when I worked for the police department, and I came home one morning. I was working what they call dog shift. I got off at 7:30, and I was really tired that day. I came to the house and walked in my uniform and just stretched out across the bed. Didn't try to get out of my clothes or anything. And it may have been the fact that I was tired that this happened, but I can't explain it. But as I lay there, I became rigid. I couldn't move. My entire body was just shut down. The only thing I could do was still hear everything that was going on, and I could still see everything that was going on. I could hear the radio playing because I knew I left it playing. I could actually see the lights on the ceiling. And as I lay there, I noticed I was being lifted up off the bed. And before I got to be maybe a foot, 2 feet from the ceiling, I stopped, and I was just levitated there. And I could tell that there was something underneath me, but I couldn't tell what it was because I couldn't see it or hear it. But it started pressing bones on my spinal region from my neck all the way down to my buttocks, as if though it was testing it or adjusting it, or it was just doing something to it and I couldn't explain. And I was trying to scream, and I couldn't scream. No voice could come out of my mouth, but I felt the tear come out of my eye. And I struggled and struggled, and finally I just said, "Well, maybe if I relax, it'll the dream will be over, and I'll wake up." So, what happened after that was, once they or he or however many were out there decided that they were done, I was lowered back down to the bed. And as soon as my body hit the bed, I got up and I ran out of the house, and I sat out on my front porch for about 2 hours trying to figure out what just happened. And I was still a bit tempted by going back in, but I finally did, and I looked around to see if there was anything in there. I didn't see anything. Next time I saw something, it had to be at least 10, 15 years later. And what was really, I guess, bad about this was I was telling people these things are happening, but I had no proof. I had no way to validate anything. So, in 2008, New Year's Eve, I remember I was sitting in the living room looking out the window, and I said, "Well, let me grab the camera and denote this night by catching sounds and visuals of New Year's Eve before it actually changed into New Year's Day." So I went outside about, just about 11:45 that night. I stayed out there for 20, 30 minutes waiting for the New Year's to roll in. So I just kind of panning around the yard and looking at the neighbor's house and looking at the sky and the trees. And I noticed something just across from me in my neighbor's yard, but above the trees, a light descending down slowly. Couldn't figure out what it was. What's going on here? So I tried to keep the camera on it, but I noticed the camera was starting to fade. I'm like, oh, wow, my battery's going dead. I just changed the batteries in my camera, but they went dead. I couldn't explain what was going on. So didn't think very much else about it. I knew I'd captured a few seconds of footage, and I had a computer. I said, well, I can go in and maybe examine this and see what I've got. Lo and behold, when I came to examine the video, the light that was descending wasn't just one light, or it was one light, and it split into two, and it was changing colors. The examination told me that the lights that split into two had some entities inside of them. I had to enlarge it and enhance it in order to be able to determine this. But you can see these little beams inside of each of these lights that split off into two. And then it suddenly disappeared. But what else was odd about the video was that at the end, before it shut off, something came near the camera. And as it came near the camera, it just kind of looked like a long, elongated cigar, but it was brightly illuminated. And then it just took off. From that day forward, I made a promise to myself I would always keep a camera on hand, somewhere near me. And so I started carrying a camera to work, to the store, wherever I went, I tried to make sure I had it available. At that time, the cameras that you had on your phones were really low quality. I think they were like 1 megapixel. You know, now you're looking at cameras that are up to 25, 30 megapixels, which gives you really high resolution. And the video quality was also pretty cool back then, which was, I think, was, they used to call them lines as opposed to pixels, or as opposed to 4K or 1080, or I think it's what they call it, 1080 quality. Anyway, I started seeing them around the house quite a bit. And I would go to work, and I would tell my associates, the people I work with, that I was seeing these things, and they thought I was nuts. And I thought I was nuts, but I had to tell somebody what's going on. I said, this doesn't make any sense. I really wanted to just ignore it. I wanted it to just go away, just stop. Because it was doing more harm than good to get this out, because people thinking you're Looney Tunes for talking about spaceships and aliens and all this other stuff. I've delved into so much investigation over the last 15 years that there's no way that I could be wrong about this. I'm reasonably sure that there are creatures on the moon. Not only are they on the moon, they have cities there. And I think I have enough information to validate that. I think I have enough information to validate the fact that there are other crafts that exist just in space. I don't know what their purpose is, but I know they exist there. I know that also there are ships that follow the International Space Station. I can't explain the reasoning for it, but I know, based on not what I've captured, but based on what the ISS has captured and my examination of that these creatures also follow and apparently observe him for some reason.
Back when you were 5 and you said yes. There was a craft that came in the house. What size was that craft?
The craft couldn't have been more than 1.5 feet, 2 feet in diameter.
And then something came out of it that was a being.
Yes, yes. The being was glowing. And the being looked like its head couldn't have been more than 6 inches in diameter. Couldn't have been much more than that. It was really tiny.
That's what people don't really understand, is that there's an expectation that these beings are all our size, or maybe the size of a little person, which is 4 feet tall, and then that's what they are. But what you're describing is, I think, helpful, because it describes a broader spectrum of being, that is entities who are visiting us. Okay.
I agree with that. That's definitely. just on the subject of size, let's just deal with that because that's one of the aspects I investigated as well. Because one evening, I went out, it was raining, decided to go out and film because I wanted to find out about these orbs. This is one of the things that intrigued me more than anything else, because people were having these serious debates about orbs, whether they were real, fake, whether they were dust, or whatever. And I said, I need to find out what this is all about. And this is how I got into basically trying to study all this stuff. So I went out on the porch. I started just filming the light misty rain coming down. And I would snap pictures just randomly on the ground and sky, trees, so forth. And I would take them back in and I'd basically blow them up, enlarge them. Sometimes you need to change the hue or contrast, and you can see these images a lot better. As I began to study one of the images that I captured that particular night, I noticed there was a drop of rain on the banister. And what was so really strange about that was I'm looking at this drop, and there's this little tiny thing. I mean, it couldn't have been bigger than, it had to be smaller than my fingernail. But you could see its eyes, you could see its body, you could see its arms, and it was there just basically looking up at me as if though it was wondering or being very curious about what it was I was doing. That blew me away. And the nose was not normal. It was more like a tubular shape like that you would see on an elephant, you know, a trunk. I couldn't explain it, and I was too embarrassed to show it to anybody. Because first thing people would say when I'd show a lot of these images were, that's got to be something that you basically made up, or that's After Effects, or that's a Photoshop, or something of that nature. So I just kind of dealt with that, and that was fine.
Okay, hang on. Because what you're describing, Art, is like the fairies. The fairies, and there are pictures that Arthur Conan Doyle investigated this, and they said, well, these were all made up. At one point, they said they were real, and there's been a lot of controversy through the years over the story of the Cottingley fairies. And other people have actually seen fairies and elementals. So this is very unique because they are describing what they believe are fairies and elves and gnomes. And those kinds of entities. Elementals is very common when they're associated with nature. And I know one woman who has published through the years little pictures of her elementals. Another one just recently was sharing hers. And so you are in a very unique group that is actually able to see them with your eyes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you gave me chills. I mean, the hairs literally stood up back of my neck when you started talking about fairies and elves and the whole bit. That is got every bit of myth has some basis in truth. It may not be, I mean, logical to think that all of this is true, but it has some basis in truth. The reason I say that is one night I went out to a park, a wooded area, and I was out there all alone, probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just wanted to get an idea that it was true that a lot of times that's where you see UFOs. Lo and behold, I see two crafts landing near a railroad track together, one behind the other. And just little beings get out. And let me back up before I even get to that. I was just taking random pictures of the trees and everything. And there were these fairies. I mean, just everything you can imagine, pixies, the whole bit that you can see clearly in these photographs. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This cannot be real. And that made me think about it. I said, all these things they're called fallacies that people depicted back in the old days may have some basis in truth.
I agree. I mean, and I think whatever connection you have, you are in a different dimension when you're seeing these things. So some people take drugs or some kind of an enhancement to be able to see or have a vision, you know, to encounter a being, whether we consider it ET, fairy, non-corporeal, occult. There's more here going on than we can see with our physical eyes. But some people, I think, shift their awareness or are already on a different wavelength. And then they're right. able, as like you have done, as you have continued to basically fine tune and look and be open and not be afraid, you're allowing this activity, this interaction, this engagement. And I think it's actually opened you to more abilities to be able to connect with this. And that's what's so complicated is that not, when people don't see it, then they're more likely to say, oh, that's your imagination. But once someone has been exposed, it's like, well, what else can we see? There's more here. And once that initial contact, like you said, when you were five, even though it took you years to remember, then it was like, well, I remember that. And so it's possible. That immediately made it possible. Does that make sense?
That makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, I'm flabbergasted every time I think about this, the doors that have opened since 2008. Like I said, initially I've seen a lot over the course of my life, but they were random. Like I said, 5, 15, 29, all these different ages, I saw maybe one or two encounters, and I dismissed most of it. It had to be a dream, a nightmare, or something of that nature. But once I grabbed that camera and I began to investigate things, I started to realize that there's a lot more to this world than people want to acknowledge. I think a lot of people don't want to acknowledge it for fear of it. What I've encountered is somewhat like the Matrix. You know, you see what the reality that they want you to see, and then there is the reality that is. And a lot of folks don't seem to understand that. People always want to talk about a lot of this stuff not being real. There is so much stuff that we take as real that it's not real, as opposed to the things that are going on behind the scenes that are. It's hard for me to really explain. Let's just talk about the particles in the sky. We don't see them. We see that as a normal course of every day. It looks like just clear air to us. But if you take a camera and you start to film just the sky itself, you can see it in the air, and they're being used by these extraterrestrials to hide themselves. And it's hard to explain that, but there are hints that they show to people, to certain people, I guess, maybe just to people like me, to some people. I don't know. It's really crazy. I can remember when I had a YouTube page. And I was watching a video on YouTube, and it was asking, would you like for us to come? And I remember when I made the comment, somebody said, this guy thinks that they're tuned into YouTube. I thought about it. I said, well, if they have the power to be able to do some of the things they do, obviously YouTube would be a simple matter. So I don't see where it'd be a problem. But anyway, I made the comment that I want to know, is this all there is? And it wasn't that long after I made that comment that I started seeing these beings show up at the house and inside the house. Some would fly around. Some would just stand there and observe me. Some would look through the door on the back deck of the house. Some would stand out in the yard. I've got pictures of every one of these episodes where all these beings, I don't know if it was their curiosity about me or the fact that I was so curious about them that they decided to come. I had one incident where my brother was in an accident, and he needed a place to stay, so my mom came over, and she took care of him as he stayed at my place. And one particular day, I decided I was going to go outside and get some air, let the dog out, standing out in the front driveway. And I'm just kind of looking around, and behind me, didn't know until I turned around, there was this craft. Unbelievable. This craft, it couldn't have been moving more than 5-10 miles an hour. Slowly descended down, came down I have a tree in the center of my front yard, came down right over the top of it, and then hovered right above my head. I had the courage to raise my hand to touch it. I could literally have touched it, or I was scared to death. This thing looked like a triangle shape. It had slits in the center on the top, and it was sloped on each side at the top as well, and had a flat surface on the top. It came down at an angle, like a diamond. It was weird. It was reddish orange look, and the glow was really a low glow. It wasn't overwhelming. And I was trying to take all this in because I had the camera in my hand, and I was too afraid to take the picture. I was afraid to even move, and I kept saying, like, "What are you?" I couldn't fancy something like this. It didn't look like metal. It didn't look like plastic, but it looked like it was lighter than air. That was what's so weird about it. And I stood to the side and turned my head slightly as it took off. It wasn't there longer than 3 to 5 seconds, and it slow. It didn't take off fast. It left the same way it came, 3 to 5 miles an hour. It was lower than the house, like I said, 2 or 3 feet above my head. It raised slightly until it came above the roof, and that's when I eased out my camera and tried to take a picture of it, and I got nothing. And it was still moving as it got over the trees. I was still trying to capture it. But as I saw it leave, I noticed it had a tail. And it was like a tubular, like the old picture tubes in the 50s and 60s. And it, but this tube at the end had to be 15 feet long. And it glowed as well. And I couldn't understand what was the purpose of that. It was just odd. You know? And I've had those kinds of encounters all through the course of my life from 2008 even to this day. And I'll bet you tonight I'll have another encounter.
I want to ask that what you're describing, somebody else, and it was 2011. I don't have the picture. At one point, she sent me a picture, and she said she was on the second floor in an office building in Kansas City, and she said, oh, they're here again. They're UFOs. And so she sent me a picture. What she described and what was in the picture, I could just see pink, like, tentacles, and they were almost transparent. But right. It would be like a flying octopus. Or a jellyfish. Yes. And so that, I don't, when they're talking, they were talking recently about an octopus UFO, and it's like, no. no. This thing, it's almost like you would see something from the sea that's actually in the air and flying through the air, and it's just there. And so that was, she was able to see these things. They're back. And so I asked, well, what do they look like? And then she was able to take a picture. So I just wanted to say that's another type of unexplained entity, alien. You know, we don't know what they are, but for her to see it and to be able to get the photograph, then that sounds like similar to what you're talking about is, what the heck is this? And it seems to be sentient. It seems it's conscious. It knows what it's doing, and it's relating, interacting. And that first encounter is like, oh my, what do I do? And taking a picture is the last thing on your mind.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you know, I don't want to spook it.
No. And you don't want it to harm you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, like when I had one in my house that was a small dinner plate sized UFO, my thought was, as I was just trying to put it, because I knew I couldn't run, get the phone, I couldn't get a camera. It was just right there hovering below the ceiling, and I was trying to imprint in my mind so I could remember what it was, because I don't have a photographic memory. And I thought, okay, if I could just remember this, and I tried really hard. The minute I started trying to imprint, it immediately shifted from inside to outside. So it went through the window, and I could see the light from it, red and green lights, because it was like little red and green light bulbs. I could see it through the window, and I thought, yeah, you don't want your picture taken. I'm not supposed to see you, but I saw you, and that's it. Went back to sleep. So that was it. I knew it was worthless to try and, or fruitless to try and figure out how to memorize it or do any, or engage it, because it was just there, I think, observing. And when I tried to do more, it was like, no, this is enough. Animals. Animals, for me, animals are my barometer. They tell me, hey, you've got company.
Solomon knew when they were around. There's no doubt in my mind. I let him out in the backyard and I had the camera, so he would look up and he'd see something, and he'd walk up to it, and I'd call him, Solomon, come back. Because I was afraid for him, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he'd go in and he'd come back. And then I'd take pictures in the direction where he was, and sure enough, there was something there. You couldn't quite make out what it was, but you could tell there was a form there, definitely.
Was that your dog?
Yes. Solomon, yes.
Solomon, that's a great name.
Okay.
It's a wise dog, a very wise dog.
Exactly.
For me, the dog was on the bed, and that when that little UFO was in the house, the dog growled. And so that was my alert of something's here. I thought it was a cat. No, it was a UFO. So thank you. My puppies, my dogs, my cats, you know, they know.
Art Fraser, author of The Gods Live in the Shadows, The Truth About UFOs. The images that Art has, he has some in the book, but you can follow him on LinkedIn. And it isn't just ships. These are images that include occupants.
I wanted to remember that they showed me when I went to space, and it was really weird. When I was abducted on August 1st, it was 2010, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:59, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm out there doing my thing, just taking pictures, trying to see if my camera could capture anything. And next thing I know is I don't remember anything. I wake up in my bed. I have no idea how I got to bed, what happened the night previous, until I come up with these pictures, because I try to make sure I upload all my pictures to my computer the next day. I take some pictures. And I tried to upload these pictures, and there was a picture of this giant spacecraft above me. And I'm like, where'd this come from? And it took me 3 to 4 months before the memories began to start coming back. And then I remembered being taken, and I went to some place where there was no sun. It looked like there was no sun, no stars, only these ships. That's all I could see. And there were dozens of little tiny ships surrounding them. And these giant ships, you could see these beings come to the window as if they came to just see what they had brought with them. And that person they had brought with them was me. And I just found that so fascinating and scary at the same time that I was a part of all that. And what did they want with me? And people kept asking me over and over again. I had no idea how to answer that question. Why you? And to this day, I can't tell you why me, but I can say why not. You know, it doesn't make any difference who you are. I think really the whole idea of why me was because I was so interested in this phenomenon. I wanted to know. My dad is a preacher. His dad was a preacher. And I wanted to know about the truth of the creator and the creation. I wanted to understand that. I'm not a faith-based person. I believe in God wholly because I've come to the realization that this can't be without God. So it's not a matter of faith for me. It's a matter of knowledge. And I think a lot of people who believe in faith, they are better off because they don't have to have any evidence. I searched for the evidence and I found what I believe I need to secure my belief. Put it that way. I didn't want to go the route of, well, yeah, I'm going to believe based on baptism and based on religious factors. I wanted to believe based on what the evidence shows me. And the evidence shows me that there is a creator. As a matter of fact, the evidence shows me that there are many creators. And what's interesting about that is that I don't know how that works, because there seem to be factors that show that there are guardians that take care of this planet. And that just may be their only responsibility. I don't know if that's the case. I have seen cities in the sky, and not on pictures. I've literally seen cities being shown to me in the sky, and beings that don't look like us live there. And some of these beings are so large, they'd be indescribable. Some are so small. And the ships that they travel in, they are ridiculous in their shapes. Some look like bugs. Some look like human heads. Some look like alien heads. and it doesn't make sense to me. Why am I being shown all of this?
I want to go back to you were on the ship, and that's what I think people connect to is what happens and what's on the ship and what was that like for you?
Oh, there's so much on that ship. There's so much on many of those ships. It's indescribable. It's indescribable. It comes down to this. Every ship has had something different about its qualities. The ship I was in was unbelievably large, and the ships it took me to were even larger than it was. They have all kinds of beings. They're beings of all different colors, sizes, shapes, some that glow, some that don't glow. I have yet to see a being who looked like some monster that people describe in movies. They all have humanoid characteristics. They have two eyes, they have ears, a nose, a mouth. And I keep asking myself this. If they have these same features, how is it possible for them to breathe in space? What do they eat? Why do they appear not to have clothing? Well, they do. They have some form of clothing. I saw these monk-looking creatures. They wore these large, long robes, and there were only four of them in this one ship. And I don't know what they do, but I found it pretty fascinating. They were extremely tall. They were a couple hundred feet tall each, and they had this large star-looking ship. It was reddish orange, but it looked like a star, and it could change its shape, which didn't make any sense to me. The ship itself had, I bet you, thousands, because I only saw a couple of hundred, but I would imagine based on the levels that were on this ship, had thousands and thousands of extraterrestrials. There was this one statue that I took a picture of that looked like a warrior that had a horned helmet, like Vikings used to wear in the old days. I don't know if they really did that, but some people say they wore horned helmets in the old days. Well, this creature had the head of an alien, the body and torso that looked almost human, but the feet looked like a scepter. It looked like a horse. And that's, and I got that, I think I even posted it on LinkedIn. But it's difficult to understand because the elements or environment they live in, it's hard to contrive. It's convoluted. It's difficult for you to be able to sort it out, and it's meant to be that way because they don't want humans to see this. Even when they are vexed to you, it should be difficult, if not impossible, to see them. I found a way to do that. I first asked and talked to them the night they took me out of my bed, because I think they found it fascinating that I didn't want to go with them initially. The night that they came to me and asked me if I would want to go with them, do I want to go with them? I said yes, because I thought it was a dream. You know, when you're laying there and you're thinking, okay, well, this is not happening. Let's see where this is going to go. So I said yes. The next thing I realized, I was standing out in my driveway. And as I stood there, I started to get chills. And my eyes became open. Now I could look around. I could see the yard. I could never see the creatures he was speaking to. And after a few moments after I opened my eyes and realized I was standing out in my driveway, I said, no, I don't want to go. And they said, we understand. And this is the hard part. The hard part is that they said, we understand. I thought they put me back in my bed. They didn't. They said, we have a message for you. They said, the age of man shall soon come to an end. There will be the introduction of a new species to reign over this planet. And I started to freak out, and next thing I knew, I was back in my bed.
When was this?
This is 2010.
Okay, continuing on the ship. At one point, I remember you telling me that you saw human babies.
Yeah, well, these babies who looked Caucasian, I don't know if they were or not. They may have had an extraterrestrial element to them because I didn't look at them that closely. They just looked like normal children playing there next to a chair. It was this high chair. It looks kind of like a throne, but it was more common. It wasn't decorated. And this being that was sitting there on this chair was not engaging these children at all. They were really playful. One was in the alien's lap, and you couldn't see the alien's face. The extraterrestrial was sitting there, had on this really tall hat, really unusually tall. And like I said, the face was distorted, but the children you could see pretty clearly. There was one in his lap, and another one who was even smaller. It was hanging on to the side of the chair. They didn't seem to be attended by anybody other than the extraterrestrial sitting there. Like I said, as I was watching, the being that was sitting in the chair never moved, but the kids were all over the place. And that's all I remember about that.
Okay, so from your experiences, the book, The mm-hmm. Gods Live in the Shadows, there yeah. are so many variations.
I think a lot of people want to acknowledge that they think they've got to be from somewhere else. I seem to have such a connection with these beings. I think because I've come to a realization that I understand and know them. And I think that comes from a relationship of being around them for the last 15 years and realizing they're around. They've become kind of like family. And you get to a point where you begin to miss them when they don't show up. You know, you're like, well, what happened to them? What's going on now? Are they still here? And they almost feel like detectives in a sense, you know. I had a portal in my backyard for years, and I was telling people about it for years. I finally decided to film it, and I put it on LinkedIn as well. And people, I don't know what people thought. You could see if you really took the time to concentrate and study that portal, you could see the beings inside moving around. But you have to understand the technology that they're trying to show you. It's unlike nothing that we have. But once you begin to understand how it works, then you can understand how to view them and how to pull them out of all that contorted elements that they try to project. The night they walked across the front yard, I can remember clearly that they had this light. It would shine on the cameras, and you could see the light itself, but you couldn't see the beings as they were walking across the yard. It was only when they took the light down that you could see or get some sense of their size and shape, but you still couldn't see them. They had another technology that basically could contorted everything, every movement that they made. You could tell they were walking, or at least it appeared they were walking, but you could only see one creature. But I knew that there were several that started out at the end of the driveway. And by the time they walked up to where the cars were, there was only one creature that you could see walking across my truck and then into the yard and then around into the backyard. That was what was so amazing to me. Their technology is unbelievable. It's way beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine.
What's frustrating to me is that when you're looking at them and you can only see maybe briefly or one at a time. I saw one crawling across the roof, and it was a purely, you know, totally white, very slender, and it looked like it might have been maybe one of the 4 foot tall. It didn't have what you would consider an alien face. To me, it was more of a slender face. I only saw it for a brief moment, almost enough to think, did I really see that? What did I see? And then it was gone. And I thought, well, what the heck was it doing crawling across the roof? I couldn't just say, well, what was that about? There was, you know, so things like that it's so almost out of context that then you question and then you don't have anything to do with it. So it's like, okay, that happened. And then life goes on.
Right. But see, I took it a step further than that. Because I was fed up with not being able to answer questions. And I said to myself that I'm not going to post anything that I don't have some kind of descriptor or answer to. At least something that I can rationalize in my own mind. It's something that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I did. I said, you know what? I have invested a lot of money. That's all I'm going to say. Into
yeah, it's like a black hole.
yes, like a money pit.
Yeah,
the camera and monitors and computers and the whole thing, all because of the fascination I have with extraterrestrials and their vehicles. I was on my way home one afternoon, and I wish I could have caught this vehicle. It was the most fascinating craft I've ever seen. It had these big jets on the side that looked like tubes, and you could see the aliens in the middle of it. And it was like such a space-age looking vehicle. It was hovering right above the freeway, like it was waiting on me, just so I could see it. And it was at an angle pointed toward the sky, hovering no more than maybe 40, 60 feet above the freeway itself. And I got ready to just pull over and take the picture, and it took off in a flash. I mean, it hauled. And I've never seen anything like that one since. It looked more like a spacecraft or a craft that was made by a conventional means than any other. But it had capabilities that I've never seen on any craft that we've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
It looked hovered there. I didn't see propulsion. I didn't hear any noise when it took off. And it just vanished.
Yeah. I like the LinkedIn pictures because there's one that you posted recently where you can see inside there's an entity. For anyone who wants to follow you, you're on LinkedIn, and we'll post, I'll post a link in the description. But that's where you've posted some really fantastic photos. And I like the fact that you can see, because this is what they don't have, at least from what they have released, in the military images. They don't have entities. They just, it's all about the ship. You know, it's like, well, what's flying the ship? Come on. You know, it's not.
Exactly.
So this is where it gets really, I think, interesting.
I know this will blow up. It may even blow up in my face, but the bottom line is this, is that people need to know this and need to understand this. What was really troubling to me was when the president was talking about these engaging these crafts and shooting them out of the sky. This is just my opinion. That is a humongous mistake because they have no clue as to what they're dealing with. None. And the problem with that is that I have yet to see an extraterrestrial craft travel by itself. I've never seen one empty, even a probe, not probed by electronic means. They have living entities inside. You know, the ones that do the observations and just fly by you quickly, they're occupied. So if anybody tells you that, oh, well, that's an alien probe, that's not the case. There's a life forms inside of these vehicles. And we need to be aware of that and need to try to understand that. Now, if they're trying to engage us in a violent way, then by all means, I'm sure we have the right to protect ourselves. But when you're just trying to steal technology for the sake of trying to advance your own means, it's not helping people like me or you. It's only helping the ultra rich, and basically they just take that technology and use it for themselves and for their own means. That's the scary part to me.
Yeah, it isn't helping. And I think a lot of the information we have from ETs specifically relates to how we are treating our planet and the other beings, animals, nature, the whole nine yards that we cohabitate with here on planet Earth, and saying, you know, y'all are not helping the thing. You're actually, like the Matrix says, it's a cancer. And because we're not upgrading, we're continuing to take and take. And sometime at some point, we're going to have to really pay more attention. What can we give back?
Well, that point is coming up real soon. And that's just my own personal belief. Like I said, I've seen a lot of things over the course of the last 15 years. I will never be able to divulge everything that I've seen. It would be impossible because it's overwhelming. It's more than I can consume, probably more than the world can consume at this time. But I think the message still needs to get out there that we need to be more active when it comes to trying to take care of the planet and take care of the children. and we need to stop all this sullenness and fighting over just strategic reasons or territorial reasons or whatever. We've got to learn to be better. That's my message to the world.
From the experiencers I've spoken with and those that I've read about, there's a big shift from trying to get everyone to believe the same thing. And most experiencers have these unique insights that have to do with we are all connected and we have to start learning how to get together, not all believe the same thing, but have a common goal. And when you're talking about a common goal of improving life on the planet, of helping to have clean water, of trying to help save some of the species that we are decimating because of our practices, whether it comes to, you know, dealing with oil or anything like that, that's the indigenous perspective. That's been with us for centuries with the cultures who were here prior to the Western philosophy taking over in terms of getting, you know, bigger, better, more focused on consumerism and creating something that everybody's going to buy. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, then they have to have something else they're going to buy. And it, all of that continual production and huge, huge waste, that has to change.
Yes, yes, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of times when I think about the things that they show me, they have so much to do with us trying to figure out how to change the atmosphere, the climate of greed, as opposed to the needs of the world. You know, you've got 75% of the population starving or homeless or whatever it may be, and nobody seems to be concerned about that. You know, well, let's take care of our own homes. Well, what is our home? And that's the thing you have to realize. You know, we can't just try to segment every little piece and say, well, this is mine, and I'm going to take care of this, you take care of yours. Everything affects the whole. Cancer doesn't start out in the entire body. It starts out as a little section, and then it corrupts the entire body at that point. And that's what we've got to learn.
Your book is available on Amazon, The Gods Live in the Shadows, The Truth About UFOs. And I also like, there's a quote, or you put it on LinkedIn, it's not the universe that is quiet. It only seems quiet to those that are too noisy and impatient to listen.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and some people call it the monkey mind. We're constantly running some kind of dialogue, you know, considering, well, I need this, I need that, I wish I had this, and I wish I didn't do that, and boy, that was really dumb, and I don't like so-and-so, and I need a bigger car. You know, that constant stuff that's just, it's counterproductive or worrying. Yeah. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Is so-and-so mad at me? All of that stuff is constant jibber-jabber in your mind, taking up space. When if you learn to really, really listen and say, what can I discover? What is here that I have overlooked? Then, like you said, when you went to that YouTube video, now everybody wants to know what that was, okay, because then they're going to come visit. what was that video you saw that made all this happen? Then when you have that invitation of what's here and you're curious, you get results, because then it comes back and starts saying, oh, you're interested. Okay.
Yes. All you have to ask, all you have to do is speak. If you just speak it out loud and just ask, and your mind, your body, about you will find a way to make that come to fruition, period. My dad used to say all the time, anything you want long enough, hard enough, and you try hard enough, it's all you have for yours, because the hard part's already done.
So your question was, is this all there is?
That was my question. Is this all there is? Is this all I can look forward to? I wanted to know about God and his plan for the universe. I got into a deep discussion with AI, and they shut me down every time I get into discussion, because AI doesn't like to talk about things that have to do with just human quality, because if I'm merely an AI, I don't have emotions. So I tried to talk to it about the universe and the Big Bang, and how did the universe come to be? And it was trying to get into all these different facets of what scientists believe or what the theory is, and and so forth. And I said, well, okay, I can relate to what they're saying. But I wanted to know what your observations were based on all the information that's been fed into you. What are your observations about how the universe came to be? And he got to talking about the gravitational forces that affected. I said, well, wait a minute. You're saying that the Big Bang came from explosions, and where did the explosion come from? If you ask where the explosion came from, then you have to ask, how did it ignite? And if it ignited, you have to ask, who struck the match? So you have to keep going back further and further and further to try to understand this theory, because the theory doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold water. And so that was confusing to me. That's why I need to know about God. I need to know about the Creator. I don't need the religious part of it. I need the God part of it, the creation part of it. So I'm saying, I don't need to hear about Genesis to Revelation. I just need to hear about from then to now. Give me something I can relate to, okay? Something I can grab onto and say, okay, I see how God works now. I understand what the creation is about now, because we're just not here going through the motions. We're not here to just eat and sleep. There's something we have to learn here, and that's obvious. And people are ignoring that. People are going, what is happening is that we are creating this artificial world where people just go through the motions and not really try to qualify their existence. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, you had one thing that you said, the age of man.
Yes. The age of man shall soon come to an end, and there will be the introduction of a new species to reign over this planet. Yes.
And did that scare you?
It scares me even saying it now.
What if it isn't necessarily a negative? It's that we evolve into more spiritual beings, which means that man is just a label.
I thought about that. I really did. And I want it to be so, but I just think there's just so much negative in mankind's being that it has become a situation that's probably untenable. That's the thing that I worry about, is that I don't think we have the ability to change, to be better. It seems like our emotions, we lead with that, and we're not concerned about anything else. We let greed and love and ambition and all these things get in the way of our initial directive. We don't even know what our directive is. We have to answer that question, why are we here? It's not just to feast on the world. That doesn't make sense. It's not to kill things for sport. It's not to just ridicule or hurt or demean. There's something else that we're missing, and we got to find out what that is. That's important. That's what makes life worth living. That prevents suicide. That prevents loneliness. That prevents all those things, because you have some sense of why you are here. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so for people who want to connect with you, LinkedIn, do you want to say Art Fraser on LinkedIn?
What? Yes, that's fine. Anybody who wants to connect with me, just connect to Art Fraser at LinkedIn.
Okay, and then the book, of course, that would be helpful too, because that gives you a way to context. The Gods Live in the Shadows, The Truth About UFOs, and this is available Kindle, Amazon.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, yes. And anything else you want to add?
No, I enjoyed it.
I did too. And I love the stuff that you're posting. I love that you can actually take pictures and it shows the beings. That's fantastic, because I think that's the other link in this chain that helps us just expand our awareness and start looking for new things in new ways.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you as well. Appreciate it.
The Gods Live in the Shadows, The Truth About UFOs. Links are in the description for the show. I'm Wendy. Thanks for listening.